Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're on with Dustin Detrick, Vice President and Business Banking Relationship Manager at Associated Bank. Dustin, welcome back.
Glad to be back.
I want to start our conversation by talking about something that small businesses are doing to cover new costs, some of those costs associated with the tariffs that have been put in place. Apparently, small businesses are taking out high interest rate loans. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the merchant cash advance, the MCA loans is what we call them. It's essentially looking at your credit card processing and giving loans against what you process either daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. And unfortunately, they are not favorable terms. They're quick delivery. You know, you can apply and essentially get them within a day, if not same day. So they're quick to get the cash. But the rates and the terms are very unfavorable, oftentimes 20 to 30% even from a rate perspective. So bad so that we don't like seeing them our side. If we do see them and people want to consolidate them, we often don't like them. The SBA, even June 1st, had some new rule changes that came out. They will also not consolidate that debt. Oftentimes, just look at it as you wipe that out, we take that debt away, and then potentially gives you that opportunity to do it again. And so they are not friendly loans, but oftentimes they're quick to deliver. And in tight times, unfortunately, folks look at them as an opportunity to help. But long term, it's pretty detrimental.
Yeah, 30% interest. That's brutal. Talk to us about what's going on here, Dustin. Why are these companies, why are these businesses taking out these loans to pay off how much money in terms of what we're talking about here with tariff costs?
Yeah, it could be anything. I mean, it could be the cost of what they're getting for their inventory perspective. So then if you're paying more for inventory, it squeezes your cash cycle. Imagine you have to pay more for a doll or for a widget. And then in that conversion of selling it, it just costs you more to hang on to it. It could be that you're paying tariffs. It could be that you're importing or exporting. It really just depends on how you're sourcing that inventory, that product, that material. And so a lot of times your pricing power, your purchase power is also struggling. So then they're struggling to pay all their other expenses that unfortunately have went up, be it utilities and labor. And so it's just a way to be able to bridge them through oftentimes for whatever that tariff is impacting them on. Whether it be inventory, cash cycle, purchasing power. But yeah, it's been pretty tough for some folks in that world that unfortunately tariffs are dragging on them.
Yeah, I saw the story where one company borrowed nearly $1 million over three loans to pay off about $800,000 in tariff costs. And at 30% interest, that just kind of blows my mind a little bit. We've been talking a lot about tariffs and the costs. Are some of these companies not passing along these costs to consumers, or they're eating some of this themselves, or is it just so much more extra that they have to pay that they have these loans that they have to get to sort of keep going?
I think it could be all of the above. I mean, we all talk about affordability. The administration's talking about affordability. We've been for 5 years talking about affordability, right? It's just taken its toll. And so if they were to eat the costs, that shrinks their margins, compresses margins, decreases profit, less money in their pocket. If they pass on the costs, I mean, again, gas has sort of went up, utilities went up, groceries went up in the eyes of affordability. Just another thing going up potentially could either A, decrease the amount that consumer buys, or B, lose a consumer, right? So that's really up to the business, but all of the above. It's been tough. Eat some of it, pass some of it on, decrease profits. You know, unfortunately, there's not one formula, but it just depends on the client. But it's been tough for sure.
Yeah, I would imagine that some of these businesses who've taken out these loans, taken on these lines of credit, are watching the Supreme Court for a ruling on tariffs. The Supreme Court is set to rule any time on the president's tariffs. Is that a hope that they have, that they're going to get some of this money back?
That's part of what people believe. They think that, that potentially we could pay some of this stuff back. So essentially, whether it be duties or whether it be tariffs that they've paid, some people say it as, hey, whatever's happened in the past, Supreme Court's going to say that it is what it is. Moving forward, they're either going to allow it or they're not going to allow it. But potentially, yeah, they foresee that the opportunity of paying this back. But just the mechanics behind it, the ability to pay that kind of money back, I just don't see it happening. But there are some businesses with some vision of getting paid back for it. I don't think it's going to happen. I think if they decide not to allow it moving forward, that may happen and retroactively just leave it. or they're going to allow it to move forward. But yeah, we're all anticipating, you know, waiting for it for sure.
Yeah. And some of these companies that have taken out these loans may be able to pay some of this back, but I'm guessing that a few of them might not survive, right?
I mean, if you just look at it, how it works, traditionally, we'll see it come out daily. So as opposed to you talk about cash flow, I had to cover payroll, I had to cover inventory, I had to cover whatever material. They get this $800,000 loan, call it. They end up paying back $950,000. But worse is that every single day or even sometimes weekly, this payment is coming out. So if you're already crimped from a cash flow perspective, if you're already tight, imagine every day or every week having this payment come out. And people just don't realize what it does to drag on that sort of cash flow. And so unfortunately, yeah, people go out of business. And we've seen bad situations in business banking to where people bring them on. And it's unfortunately, yeah, the end of some of those businesses.
Yeah. I want to switch to something else here. I saw a report that says small businesses are planning to hire fewer recent college graduates this year than they did last year. So this is making it more difficult for people to find entry-level jobs after they've graduated from college. What's going on here?
Yeah, I think in my interpretation, it's not really anti-graduate. It's really just pro-skill, especially from a small business perspective. You know, they just don't have the manpower, the ability, or the time to kind of ramp up these just recently graduated kids. So they've been focusing more on, you know, people that have that skill set, people that had internships, that had co-ops, project work, short-term jobs with them in the past, simply because that's less ramp up. You know, they have a better understanding of what's going on. Whereas larger companies, just they have a HR staff, more onboarding, and more ability for that training to go in place. So essentially, one in five small businesses say they're either not planning to hire or won't hire a recently graduated student, right? It's going to go for MBA or, you know, more of a professional degree. And small businesses are 50% of that private sector. So it's tough to be a recent graduate for sure.
So tell us what the secret here is. If you're a college graduate, maybe even a recent college graduate, how do you market yourself to one of these small businesses? Or are you just sort of out of luck altogether?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you know, the internships are super important. You know, as a college student in your summer, a lot of kids don't want to do it, but you got to go get an internship, find some sort of co-op or project work or some sort of short-term job and try to get in with a company or at least an industry that skill set's going to translate over, as opposed to saying, hey, here's my degree, train me on my job. And that's where small businesses are struggling because, you know, the ramp up just takes time. And again, I don't think it's anti-graduate. It's just they got to have that skill. And so it's internship, getting out there, networking is a big part of it as well, that not on your phone, not on Zoom, actually in person, shaking some hands like we used to do. And so get out there, network face-to-face, try to find some people you can connect with.
Yeah, the problem is not as bad with larger companies. Those companies that have more than 500 employees, they're still hiring college graduates, but at a lesser rate as well. And I'm curious, too, is this industry specific where we see small businesses not hiring college graduates? Is it one versus another, or what are you seeing from this report?
You know, they're still hiring in healthcare. Finance is still hiring. Construction is still hiring. Obviously, that latter, the construction, you know, the college degree's either not there, not as important. It's more of an apprentice or journeyman type of thing. And so there's industries that are still hiring, but there's a lot of industries in particular, again, small businesses that just don't see the value at this point in these recent grads unless they have that skill set and be able to ramp up. And so look for larger companies, look in those industries that are hiring. And if you're really focused on maybe those small businesses that aren't hiring as fast, find a way to up your skill set, right? Whether it be training or, again, those internships. And so you got to be hyper-focused on what you want and strategic and who you're looking for.
Dustin, the job openings at smaller employers, actually at most employers have been down. At small employers, at the lowest level since 2020. Is this a bigger problem? Is this a bigger symptom of the national economy at play as well here?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you know, the Q3 numbers came out from a GDP growth perspective. It was, we'll call it the mid-4s. I think they see Q4 coming in somewhere around there. You know, I was watching some experts, if you will, in Davos this week with the big conference and meeting and predictions of Q1 at 2.8% GDP. So I think the economy's there. You know, the unemployment's hovering around 4.5. You know, there's some arguments on the data and that inside of the noise of it. But so unemployment's okay, if you will. The GDP seems strong. Obviously, I think artificial intelligence is playing in some of that. But if you're a graduate traditionally that's more of a skill set and maybe less of a job that AI would take at least right away. And so I honestly just think it's the sort of unknown. You know, if we look at it, I think a lot of small businesses are saying right now, I'm not planning on hiring. That could change in the spring and the summer. With those strong GDP numbers, with the relatively decent unemployment rate, and where things are going outside of the geopolitical sort of fights, if you will, in the wars, I just think it's the unknown. You know, with the whole Europe and Greenland thing, it flared up some more potential tariffs and a tariff bazooka, which I've never even heard of. But so I think it's really just that. And we go back to the tariffs and sort of some of the impacts it's had on certain businesses, what they've had to do to sort of band-aid through. And so it doesn't surprise me that they're not going to hire. But if we can just get some of this unknown and tariff stuff figured out, I honestly think we'll be fine. But it's really just a lot of noise and unfortunate timing if you just graduated.
And finally, for our conversation today, I saw a report that said 4 in 5 small businesses had cyber scams last year. Are small businesses being targeted more than bigger businesses by this?
Yeah. You know, I've been in banking a long time, and I've seen lots and lots of fraud, and it continues to get more progressive and better, if you will. Unfortunately, I always said there's smart people on both sides, right? And so with artificial intelligence, for sure, it's making these attacks easier for people that weren't as capable before. And so if you're a small business, maybe you don't talk about cybersecurity, maybe you're not as up on it, or maybe you think, hey, they're not going to come after me. But in all honesty, that's what they're going for. You know, and unfortunately, on the personal side, those folks that are probably more at risk, you'll say than the elderly side, these small businesses just don't think it's going to happen to them. It's the same. So they're being attacked more, and it's costing real money. Unfortunately, again, we talked about affordability. 38% of these folks that have had some sort of cyber attack and had a real cost to it pass those costs on. So again, it's not just tariffs, it's cybersecurity, it's all sorts of stuff where affordability comes in. And so they're absolutely being attacked, and it's getting more progressive. I don't know if you've seen some of these videos anymore. You can't tell which is real and which is not because of AI. That's what they're doing with some of these attacks. The voices and the way they approach it just seems so real that folks are falling for, and it's, again, costing real money for these small businesses.
Yeah, real money. I mean, lots of money. This one report said 37% of companies lost more than $500,000 per incident last year. A quarter lost up to $200,000, and then there was another quarter that lost between $250,000 and $500,000. And then 41% of small businesses, back to your point, said that AI was the root cause of a recent attack. What's the solution here? How do we fight back?
We've said it for years on the personal side. We've said it for years on the business side. You have to prepare, especially when it comes to banking and when it comes to process. You got to have, security. You got to have multi-factor authentication when it comes to any sort of payments, any sort of ACH where money goes out. You got to make sure that cybersecurity is real. If things are changing, people say, call me at this new number, make sure you don't call them at that fake number. And it's really just training, it's process and preparing. And so it's tough because, again, these small businesses, we go back to the manpower and training these graduates. How do you have the time to do that if you don't have the time to do this cybersecurity and training and sending out these phishing emails? And so it really comes down to having a plan, making sure you execute and you prepare and know that small businesses are not, out of the realm of getting attacked by some of these AI cyber scams, right? So it's preparing for sure.
Yeah, and I saw one report that said that employee data was the most commonly accessed in these breaches. If I were be asked about this, I would bet that it would be money that would be taken. But what are they getting from this employee data that they're taking?
You know, I've tried identity theft protection for probably a decade, and if I'm not running my credit, I have every single one of those frozen. They're going after your name, your date of birth, your address, your social security number, anything where they can use that on the other side to fake some sort of profile to be able to hack into the bank account. And again, we go back to they call the bank, they act like they're you, they impersonate you. They're calling other people to try to be able to get that information, to be able to get access to your money, to be able to spend their money, whatever the case is. And so it's sensitive data. So again, from a personal perspective, we should all be doing the same thing. Should we freeze our credit? Should we have identity theft? What are we doing to make sure that if they try to get that data, can they use it, and how fast can they?
Yeah, and Dustin, I bet you and your team are ready to have these conversations with clients and probably have them on a daily basis. How do people get a hold of you and start that conversation?
Fraud protection is not only a want, it's a must at this point. But yeah, Dustin Detrick, Associated Bank. I'm on LinkedIn quite a bit. You can shoot me an email. You can give me a phone call. Happy to have that conversation, even if it's around where you're at now and what you can do from a banking perspective or what we offer at Associated. Always willing to share. So appreciate that.
All right, Dustin. Thank you. Appreciate the conversation. We'll talk to you next time.
Always good to talk to you. Thanks, Steve.